Studio 360.
I hate Enid being mad at you, Lizzie. It's so unfair. You should have heard some of the awful things she said about you.
She did?
This is from the audiobook of Secrets, the second novel in the wildly popular YA series Sweet Valley High.
I could hardly believe my ears. You know, I think she's always been jealous of you, Liz.
Starting in 1983, the Sweet Valley High books followed the Wakefield twins, Jessica and Elizabeth, through the ups and downs of their high school career in a picturesque California town. Over the next 20 years, an astonishing number of those Sweet Valley novels were published. More than 600. It also spawned spin-off series like Sweet Valley Twins and Team Sweet Valley, and eventually a TV show.
Come on, Scott's a college guy. Lose the sweater. But I like this sweater. Obviously, it's so you. Ugh. Here. Now all you need is a bit of makeup. But I already put it on. As they say, practice makes perfect.
They were literary junk food. And you didn't have to be a blonde California girl yourself to love Sweet Valley High. Bim Adewunmi is a producer for This American Life. She also co-hosts the podcast Thirst Aid Kit. And at the all-girls boarding school she attended in Nigeria in the 90s, the Sweet Valley books were a very hot commodity.
Why can't you get it into your thick skull that Bruce likes me?
It takes more than a few kisses to prove that. He's arrogant and self-centered. He'll hurt you.
Don't you dare say another bad word about Bruce in front of me, or you'll regret it forever.
Jess!
You heard me, Elizabeth. That's all!
The writing in Sweet Valley High is, in a word, feverish. I mean, there's like a fog of like hormones just above the book. You open it up and there's like a small cloud that kind of erupts. I was reading this stuff at boarding school, an all-girls boarding school. So I just read it on my bunk and sigh dramatically like, oh God, imagine the things I could do if I wasn't trapped in this fortress. And then you get older and you think, boys are terrible anyway. My name is Bim Adewunmi. I'm a writer. I went to boarding school in a town in Nigeria called Sagamu. I went to a federal government girls' college. And so there was at least a few, maybe a couple thousand at the very least, of girls between the age of about 9 or 10 to 15, 16. That's a lot of girls to have in one place. And girls make their own fun. A good chunk of that fun was a sort of illicit library that kind of operated away from the main library. There were networks where at the beginning of term, it would become apparent that somebody had a new set of books. And then there would be a kind of weird sign-up system, which was never written down, but was very well understood. But that's how Sweet Valley eventually emerged. It was a really great way to discover them as sort of the illicit drugs of, of the system, except they were not drugs at all. They were just really silly books. The Sweet Valley High books were written initially anyway by Francine Pascal, and she created this world in this fictional town in California called Sweet Valley.
Welcome to Sweet Valley High, where you'll meet identical twins Elizabeth and Jessica Wakefield. Both girls are blessed with spectacular good looks.
It felt to me like an Archie comic, but a little bit more late-stage capitalism. It felt very much like these people were social climbers. And it was fine because everybody else was climbing around them, so why wouldn't they?
Jessica sighed and asked her sister if she didn't wish they lived up on the hill like Bruce Patman and Lila Fowler. Elizabeth knew her twin would like nothing better than to live on the hill where Sweet Valley's very rich lived in sprawling mansions.
You know, there's obviously the very, very rich. So the Wakefields are very much kind of like the middle of the road. You know, they are solidly upper middle class, and that's fine. Francine Pascal understands that you need to have things that rub up against each other with a little bit of friction in order to create some kind of conflict that will then be resolved. The central relationship is between the twins, Elizabeth and Jessica. Jessica is the mischievous one, and she is, you know, a little bit snobby, and she is the one who is a little bit caught up on being the popular cool girl.
Oh, Lizzie, do you believe how absolutely horrendous I look today? Oh,
How can I possibly go to school looking so awful? Today of all days.
If you think you're the grossest looking person in Sweet Valley, just what does that make me? Miss America?
Elizabeth, on the other hand, is very bookish. You know, one of her favorite places to be is the library because she's a reader. And we all understand that readers are nerds and nerds are good.
Elizabeth, I voted for you. That's nice to know. But I'm Jessica. Elizabeth's over there somewhere.
Sorry, you both look so much alike.
Wow, I never noticed. Your sister seems to have cornered the nerd vote.
I mean, I was a nerdy person who read books all the time. So Elizabeth felt to me like, oh, that's clearly my avatar. But a part of me also wanted to be Jessica, who really, she's a sociopath. I mean, so is Elizabeth to a lesser, less obvious degree. But Jessica is terrible. She's a snob. She is rude. She is, by any measure, a bad person. But she's also kind of cool. And so when you're 13 years old, you kind of think, no, I'm absolutely Elizabeth. Oh, but also, wouldn't it be great to be popular cheerleader Jessica? Before your common sense pulls you back. But in the moment, you think, God, yeah, that what a great life she must be living. There was stuff about school and school politics and friendship groups, and mostly it was boys.
Jess, do you know what time it is? Where have you been?
I don't have to give you my itinerary, Liz, but I think even you could figure out the answer to that one.
Bruce, you've been with him all this time?
Oh, yes, and it was wonderful.
I was afraid of that.
The two of them aren't necessarily attracted to the same kinds of boys, but every so often they are. And that's when things get really sticky. And, you know, Elizabeth often is the wounded party who kind of withdraws, you know, with sadness. And Jessica's kind of like, ah, screw it, I'll do it. Which, again, is very attractive because you're like, oh, my God, imagine if you didn't have to care about people's feelings. Amazing. And Jessica never bothered herself with anybody else's feelings.
Jessica? Elizabeth?
Jessica, of course. Who's this?
Oh, hi, Jessica. This is Todd Wilkins. Is Liz home?
Oh, Todd, I'm so glad you called. I've been meaning to tell you what an absolutely fantastic jump shot you made in practice yesterday. I was really impressed.
Gee, Jessica, thanks. I didn't know you were watching. Thanks. Is Liz around?
Todd Wilkins is Elizabeth's on-off boyfriend. He was coded so clearly as solid but boring. He was a very non-threatening version of masculinity. And on the other hand, you had Bruce Patman. Bruce is arrogant, and you can tell because Bruce has a Porsche, and the license plates of the Porsche read one Bruce One. Which again, even as a child, I thought to myself, oh, he's rich. Like vanity plates? Yes, he must be rich.
There sat handsome, dark-haired Bruce Patman, lounging arrogantly behind the wheel of his flashy sports car.
And that was Bruce. But it's very interesting to kind of present them as viable love options, but also perfect because it matches the twins. One of them is kind of nerdy, the other one is not at all nerdy, so of course you're going to match them accordingly. Essentially, what I did with this was what I did years later watching Sex and the City and identifying with one of the four. It's a very useful human habit to try and find the thing that most resembles you. You know, we talk a lot about representation mattering. And on the one hand, for sure, you want to see people who look like you, of course. But half the time, what we're looking for is something we can relate to. And that doesn't necessarily mean, you know, how they look. There were no blonde people in Nigeria in my everyday life. And I would go into a bookshop and there would literally be a wall of blonde twins. But you look back and you think, my God, what insidious messaging. You know, that the only fictional lives worth reading about are, you know, skinny blonde girls in California. Yeah, it's not a great message. One of my favorite things about Sweet Valley High is for each imprint, and there were several, you know, that Sweet Valley High became Sweet Valley Kids, became Sweet Valley Twins, became Sweet Valley University, became Ordinary Sweet Valley. Like, there were so many strands to the Sweet Valley universe. You know, long before the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Sweet Valley was doing it. They were all over the place. But for each strand, the voice remained incredibly the same. I will say, though, that years later, when Francine wrote a sequel set in the future where the twins were grown-ups and they had jobs and married and divorced and all this other stuff, I bought that book. I bought the book and I was like, I have to know how it ends. I must know. Because I felt such a strong kinship. I grew up with these girls.
Elizabeth had turned the key in the Fox lock when the phone in the apartment started to ring. But Elizabeth didn't hurry. giving the internal anger and hurt time to shoot from 0 to 100. It needed only seconds, like the startup speed of a Maserati. Except it was never at 0. Not anymore. Hadn't been for the last 8 months.
These are not the books that I will, you know, take to a desert island. But they were so important to me for like a brief shimmering moment. These were the books that I wanted to kind of live inside of.
Bim Adewunmi is a producer for This American Life and co-host of Thirst Aid Kit, a podcast about female desire. And by the way, a Sweet Valley movie is supposed to be in development. Studio 360's Morgan Flannery and Jocelyn Gonzalez produced that story for our Guilty Pleasures series.